Jump into the word today. I know we do have Hawaiian Falls that we are heading out there, and my son already asked me the magic question yesterday. He said, he tried to be very sly about it. So, hey, Dad, you know, how long do you think service is going to go tomorrow? I said, as long as it takes, son, as long as it takes. And boo, he didn't like that answer either. He was just like, he's like, you know, the water slides are calling, so. You know, and one thing I am, and we are going to jump into the word here in just a moment, but one thing I am so grateful for about our church is that we are people who know how to celebrate, how to just enjoy life and have fun. How many of you know God wants you to enjoy life? You're not convinced. How many of you know God wants you to enjoy life? How many of you know life is a gift? If you're not convinced of that, it's true. Life is a gift. God has given us the gift of life, and he wants us to enjoy the gifts that he's given us. Amen? God wants us to celebrate what we have. And you know what? We've got a beautiful day. We're here together. We've got a great church family. Today's going to be a day of celebration. Amen? Let's pray, and we're going to open up the word and go to it. Father, I thank you that your word is life. Somebody say amen. That God, that you are not silent, that you are speaking to us today. And Father, I'm so grateful that your word is alive and it has the power to change us. Father, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and give us hearts that are ready to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Today, we're going to continue what we've been discussing. We've been discussing that God desires for us to live with inspiration, to be an inspired people, but that inspiration is not just supposed to be what's only for the inside of us, but there's an expression to it. How many of you know God desires you to express an inspired life? Say amen. He even says to us, he says in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, I want you to live by the power of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And he says to us, against these things, there's no law. How many of you know there is no government that can stop what the Spirit wants to develop in your life? There's no law that can stop the inspired life that only comes from a relationship with the living God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. And we began breaking it down, and this is actually the second week. We're on joy of those nine things. We're talking about joy today. This is the second week we're going to be talking about joy. And last week we said this, that one of the best ways that I can say to define what joy is joy is energy. Joy is fuel. How many of you know God has a desired outcome for your life? Yes, you know this, that God has a destination, that God desires you and your family to arrive at a certain place, to arrive at a place of kingdom promise, a place of purpose, and that the way that we get there is we do so with joy as the energy and as the fuel. It's very simple. Whatever you find joyful in your life, you will have energy for, right? Think about the things that kind of inspire you and motivate you. There's an energy there to do them. If you are inspired, if you find joy in something, you typically don't make excuses not to do those things. Come on. There's an energy that comes from joy. And joy, the great source of joy, is obviously the joy of the Lord. And today I want to take and continue to talk about that for just a few moments. And I want to look at one scripture quickly in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says this: rejoice in the Lord when? You sound confused. The answer's on the screen. Rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. What? That was so weak. That was the most unjoyful rejoicing I have ever heard in my entire life. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Do it again. Thank you. When we talk about joy, there's a commandment. This is not a suggestion. When the scripture says it, it's saying, I say to you, rejoice, be full of joy. And guess what? After you've done it, do it again. Amen? Do it again. That God desires us to live a joyful life because he understands this. Joy is one of our greatest needs that we have. This is good news, guys. This is not bad news. God understood that we were intended to live with joy. Something in the human makeup needs joy like a car needs fuel. It's what drives us forward. It's what pushes us even through some of the most difficult terrain and difficult times. Joy compels us to move forward. Amen? Joy puts us in motion. We need it like almost like nature needs rain. Aren't you grateful for a little bit of rain that we had the other night? Amen? Now, I'm glad it's not raining today, but Jesus, please let it pour tomorrow. Amen? Let it come down. We need, the earth is crying out for the nourishment. We need the rain. And just like the earth needs it, the human spirit needs to be full of joy, full of life. Amen? And I want to talk about, let's talk about what is genuine joy today. First and foremost, godly joy. Listen, there are many different definitions. I even said it last week. Joy is one of those things that's hard to quantify, but you know it when you have it. Amen? But let's try to quantify it a little bit today. Let's try to put a little bit of muscle on the skeleton today, if you will. We could sum it up, one person summed it up this way. Joy is a pattern. It's a pattern. How many of you know joy is not just singular moments, but it's an enduring pattern. It's an abiding sense of something good. Amen? It's bright. It's an emotional, it's not just an emotional roller coaster, but it's an abiding pattern sustaining through with an excitement for life. Amen? One person says it this way. I'm going to read, quoting here. It says, though there might be moments or seasons of sadness, even these are tempered with a confident expectation that the sun will shine again and will soon return, piercing through the darkness caused by the passing clouds. It's consistent. Amen? See, joyful people typically live with an abiding sense of happiness and contentment. Amen? Listen, happiness is not joy. It is a byproduct of joy. It is evidence of something that remains. Amen? They tend to smile more. They tend to laugh a lot more. They tend to see themselves through difficult situations. And some of us from the outside, we look at it and say, oh my goodness, it's like it's not even affecting them. They see problems as opportunities. How many of you know not every problem is there to kill you? Actually, sometimes the problems are there to make you. Amen? We grow through difficulty. And to joyfully accept it, to joyfully be able to walk through it, sustain through it, there's growth. And a joyful person will, even when the glass is, let's be honest, is almost empty, a joyful person will be that annoying person who says, thank God for the little we have. Amen? We need to be those people. We need to be those people that understand that even in the little bit that's left, that may not seem like enough, God can do amazing things. How many of you know God doesn't need the glass all the way full? Right? He can work with a little bit. And the next thing you know, that glass can be overflowing again. Amen? You guys awake this morning? Come on, wave at me if you're awake today. There you go. Y'all are so good looking. Look at that. See, the thing with joy is this. People who are joyful people don't live with a fear that it's ever going to run out. They're confident in what God is doing in them and through them. But you know what? There are so many people, so many families, where it seems like laughter has become a thing of the past. Listen, if you guys know me, you know I like to laugh. I do. I think things are funny. I think probably most of the time inappropriate things are funny. I laugh at probably some of the worst times. But I like to laugh. How about you? Do you know God laughs? You know God's not mad, right? Two of you know that. God is not mad at anybody. God laughs. God is actually pretty excited about life. He's having good days. He's God. But God desires laughter to be a key part of our life. He says so. It's even one of the fruits he wants us to bear. Joy. How many of you ever met a joyful person who looks like this? Walking around like they're mad at everything. It's hard to be mad at everything when the joy of the Lord infiltrates your life. It's hard to be depressed when God's goodness is the biggest thing you see. Amen? See, but sadly, there's been so many people where the laughter, it's just become a thing of the past. And at some point, we have to be honest about the amount of real joy we are experiencing in life. And I want to ask you a question. How much and how often do you laugh? It's a very spiritual question. Right? We don't think about laughter in a spiritual term, but laughter is spiritual. Laughter is enjoying life. Laughter is very much the heart of God. You know, I read something interesting, and I've actually posted it on Facebook a couple times, where it says that the average adult laughs about 6 times a day. The average child laughs about 150 times a day. Jesus says, be more like children. Come on. He didn't say be childish. He said be childlike. And there's a difference. Amen? And I say this, as we grow and as we mature in our faith and as we get a deeper sense of conviction and understanding and confidence in who God is, see, my joy is birthed in my confidence in who God is, not in my confidence in who I am and how capable I am to handle any situation. When I, as I grow and as I see God's faithfulness to my life, how many of you know it's a lot easier to laugh? See, the greatest quality children have is children trust. Come on. They're not cynical yet. They're not jaded yet. The world hasn't worn them down yet. They laugh easy. They enjoy things on a much simpler level. As we get older, we tend to complicate everything. And Jesus is saying to us, be childlike. Trust me. Have confidence in me. Man, and enjoy it. Enjoy it. The world needs to see a church that knows how to enjoy the life that we've given, that we've been given. Amen? They need to see a church that knows how to celebrate, a church that knows how to give thanks with a grateful heart. Amen? Rejoice, win always. And if you're confused, do it again. That's what it says, rejoice. Amen? I've never met anybody who's ever said these words, no thanks, I have enough joy. It's like saying, no thanks, I have enough money, I don't need more, please. Come on, right? Nobody says these words. And we have to look at our joy levels, and then we have to choose to pursue the choices that will advance us on a path of joy. And one of the first steps on this journey is to identify some of the places where our joy is being stolen. How many of you know there are just some situations that have just been sent by the pit of hell just to steal your joy? Newsflash, Satan does not want you joyful. Are you shocked by that? But God does. Yet we treat it like God's the one who's trying to kill us. Come on. He's getting a bad reputation here. We don't want that. But some of the things that happen to us in our life that want to come in and steal our joy, we call them the joy thieves. How many of you know sometimes bad things happen? Let's be realistic. We live in a real world that's fallen with real hurts. There are personal traumas that happen. How many of you have ever been through something that you would say is traumatic? If you haven't, just wait. Live a little longer. The opportunity will arise. How many of you know conflict can steal our joy? I don't, you know, even people that say they like conflict, they don't really like conflict. They're just good at it. Nobody really enjoys conflict. How many of you know difficulties come into our life? disappointments. Anybody ever been disappointed? Just me? I'm the only person in here who's ever been disappointed in anything. I was disappointed in that response. Now, I got to be honest with you. Don't sit there and be a bunch of joy thieves. Come on. Work with me, people. How many of you know dilemmas come into our life? Choices that have to be made. Tough choices that have to be made. How many of you know sometimes sin will enter our life? And listen, some of these cases, we have a choice. But in other cases, how many of you know things happen that we just don't have a choice about? But you can choose your attitude. You may not be able to choose the situation. You may not have a choice in the scenario. But you can choose how you respond. You can choose whom you trust. You can choose how your attitude is going to play out in this situation. Amen? Listen, godly joy is not dependent upon your circumstances, and godly joy is not dependent upon how you feel. And you need to thank God for that, because your circumstances and how you feel are inconsistent. Joy is more consistent than that. There is a place where untouched joy is constantly available. And we have to understand the secret is to know that the pursuit of joy is not a pursuit of a product. It is a pursuit of a person. See, we're looking for products to bring joy to our life. No product will be able to sustain joy in your life forever. Only a person will. I'm going to give you the answer to the test. It's Jesus. Just in case you were wondering. The Holy Spirit works in us to bring to our life all the joy that was available and afforded to us from heaven by the work of Jesus Christ. He works in us. And it's available to us under every circumstance. You know how I know that? Because Jesus is available to me under every circumstance, because he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. So therefore, I can rejoice in the Lord always. There's that word again. Amen? I will be with you always, and because he is with me always, I can rejoice always. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, I can rejoice. Amen? See, God wants us to have joy and lots of it because he is joy. And he wants us to have all of him. Guys, I don't know if you know, this is good news. This is not bad news. He wants us to have all of who he is. He wants us to live and walk so closely with him that joy is almost effortless. That we don't have to, it just becomes a natural part of who we are, because as I spend time with him, I become more like him. How many of you know you become like the people you hang out with? Hang out with Jesus. You'll see your life begin to shift. You'll see joy begin to rise. All of a sudden, the problems that used to bother you won't really bother you as much anymore. All of a sudden, those things that used to throw you off kilter and used to mess up your day, all of a sudden, those things, you know what? They're not such a big deal anymore. All those things that used to offend you and used to hurt your heart, next thing you know, you're going to realize, I can live above it. Can I tell you the saddest thing? I'll get back to the notes in a minute. But one of the saddest things I see is the correlation between offense and joy. When people get offended, what happens to their joy? Right? What you just said by offense is that offense is greater than God's mercy and grace and forgiveness in my life. When you sit in the seat of offense and allow it to steal your joy, what you're basically saying is that situation has more power than the living God. I don't know about you, but my Bible says there is nothing greater than God, right? Do we still believe that, church? Come on. So we're not going to allow offenses to steal joy. Amen? We have to understand that we have to pursue it. We have to pursue who he is. John 15:11 says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How many of you know God wants you to have complete joy? You don't believe me? There's the words right there. I want to read something to you, and I want you to understand that when it comes to the pursuit of joy, we have to make a decision that we're not going to live in the past of our hearts. We're not going to live in the past of our failures. But what we're going to do is we're going to live in the present moment with who God is. See, you know, we've got so many people that live in the past. What happened to me? What hurt me? What was said about me? And guess what? Many of those things and most of those things are probably valid and true. But the problem is those things in the past begin to dictate our future. That's a problem. We have to make a decision that we're going to begin to live in the moment right now with who God is. Amen? Living in the right now. I want to draw something to you. I want you to understand the faith God has for you isn't for something in the past. It's not for something in the future. God has faith for you now. God has joy for you. Not someday when things get perfect. Come on. Not someday when things get back in line in order. Not someday when I finally get that promotion. Not someday when I get the house that we've been looking for. Not someday. But God desires us to live in the place of joy now. Right now. Even while you're in the middle of a struggle, God says, I want you to live in a faith and in a joy that's for this moment right here. It's interesting. I like when God introduced himself. And they said, who should I say sent me? He said, I am. Tell them I am sent you. That seems a little clunky to us, doesn't it? Who sent you? I am sent me. But I think you understand, God doesn't pick words by accident. God doesn't make mistakes. When God speaks, he speaks with clarity, he speaks with purpose, and he always says what he means. He's not confused, right? He didn't say, I will be, and he didn't say, I was. He said, I am, which means he is constant and abiding. He is. There's a great poem that was written by Helen Malicote. I want to read it to you quickly. And it says this. It says, I was regretting the past and fearing the future. And suddenly my Lord was speaking. My name is I am, he paused. I waited, he continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I will be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I am. I like that because it holds up the scripture that I am with you even until the end of the age. And when I find myself in a struggle and in a situation and I find myself in circumstances that seem like they want to dictate my life, in circumstances that want to steal, kill, and destroy and rob everything from me, when I find myself in those situations, when it looks like it's hopeless, because let's be honest, sometimes our eyes will lie to us and our emotions will lie to us. And we'll find ourselves in that scenario. We'll find ourselves in that situation. And the only hope we have is that he is here. And that we look toward the great I am. Isn't that awesome? That I can have joy in the moment because pure joy is with me at all times. And I can rejoice always. See, guys, that's when we know we're moving to a deeper place of maturity, a deeper understanding. When my situations don't have to send me off the rails because I am is here. And he's brought with him all that he is. All the power, all the hope, all the provision, all the joy, all the laugh. Come on. Amen? We don't have to live in a past, allowing past hurts to dictate us. We don't have to live fearful for the future. We can live faithfully in the moment because I am is always with me. Rejoice. Amen? Come on, that's something to rejoice about. That is something to actually get excited about. That's a circumstance changer right there. It means this: my circumstances are not my God. God is my God. If you only worship God in good times, then you don't worship God at all. You worship good circumstances. Come on. We have to worship God at all times and understand I can have joy in the most difficult trials of our life. As a matter of fact, I bet if you're really honest, it's that joy that will sustain you and fuel you and get you to the other side. Somebody say amen. So this joy, who does it come from? We know the answer. The only constant thing concerning the definition of joy is one, God. He's the only constant. All other sources of joy, those things that give us joy, those things are changeable. How many of you know that if you find joy in your job, you may find joy in your job today, but when that job goes away, so does your source of joy. Come on. You may find joy in that brand new car. Let me tell you what happened to me this week. Rabbit trail, there it is. I just saw something shiny. Dropping off my son, football practice, younger boy. Drive home, park in the car. We got to go meet some people for dinner and get back in the car and nothing. How many of you know that's like the worst, right? You understand that. Nothing. So we go get in the other car. The other car drives us to where we're supposed to go. We pick up younger boy from football practice afterward. We go to Sonic because the shakes are half price. Don't judge me. So we show up at Sonic and we pull in. I roll down the window because clearly I have to do the whole Sonic spiel. You know what I'm talking about, right? Window goes down, pop. You know what that means, right? The window's not coming back up at all. And there was that moment where I just kept, like, doing this thing. I'm like, in Jesus' name, you will come up. Because you've all done that, right, when this has happened. And you're praying the outcome's going to be different. How many of you know at that moment those cars were not bringing me any joy? Right? And you know what? They didn't particularly bring me a lot of joy the next day when I had to fix both of them and spend my whole day doing that. But you know what? Praise God, we had two cars. Amen? Praise God that it wasn't that expensive to fix. Praise God I was capable enough to fix them. Praise God. I told her we had to go to another football thing because that's what our world is right now, another football thing to another football thing. And I said, you know what? I am so happy this is done. But the truth of the matter is I was really embarrassed about how little it really took to just kind of ruin my day. When really at the end of it, I'm still in the, if you're sitting in this room, you're still in the top 3 or 4% wealthiest people in the world. Amen? And I am is here. Even when the Wi-Fi goes down, I am is here. See, if we pin our joy on things and products, how many of you know those brand new cars were not such a source of joy when the engine goes? Amen? Listen, your children may give you joy today. Praise God. Wait till tomorrow. And by the way, it's not even fair to your children to make them the source of your joy. That is an unrealistic expectation to your kids. They are not the source of your joy. Come on. Amen? They are a source of joy. But the source is I am. Come on. Amen? Okay, where was I? I got to go back. See, what we are talking about here today is we're looking at the joy of the Lord, and it's the type of joy that lasts and it's constant under all circumstances because it's rooted in God who never changes. Amen? God never changes. He wants you to have this kind of joy. You cannot produce it on your own, but you can choose it. You hear that? You can't produce joy, but you can choose joy. In the person of Jesus Christ. It's an attitude, and it stems, and I said this earlier, that joy stems from our confidence in God and who He is. You can choose to believe that God is with you. Somebody say amen. You can choose to believe in whatever situation is happening in your situation, God will show up. Amen. You can choose to believe that God is working for your good. Somebody say amen to that. You can choose to believe that God has the final say in every situation, in every circumstance. And because He has the final say, not only can we laugh, but we can laugh again. We can rejoice. And guess what? Do it again. I love that. Isn't that awesome? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, do it again. Rejoice. Amen? You can either fix your minds on these truths, or we can complain, we can wallow in despair, we can wallow in our anger, we can wallow in our sadness. That's no fun. Who wants to do that? See, the problem is we fall more in love with our sadness. We fall more in love with our right to complain, come on, than we do with the presence of God. And we have to choose, come on, to not do those things. We have to choose, I am, in that situation. Come on. So what mindset are you going to choose today? Are you going to choose things-based joy, product-based joy, which will fail us? Are you going to be dependent upon others for your joy? By the way, they will fail you. Are you going to choose what I like to call an if-only joy? If only I had that job. If only I were more talented. If only I married that person. If only I had that house. Let me tell you what, there's never going to be an ending list of if only, no matter how many of those you check off the list. Or are you going to choose a positive joy? Are you going to choose the right kind of joy? It's non-materialistic. Psalm 23, what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen? See, when I serve God, I don't need to want. He has everything. That should bring joy. Are we going to choose a just because joy? How many of you know you don't necessarily need a reason to be joyful? Come on. You ever, just because, why are you happy? Just because? Just because God is good, amen? Just because God loves me. Just because God has blessed me. Just because I have found great favor today. How many of you know that's a good joy? Somebody say amen. Choosing joy now, making it a present pursuit, never waiting for anything to fall into place or for your ship to come in. That we can choose it right here, right now, in this moment, we can walk with it no matter what circumstance because the Holy Spirit is here. Amen? Worship team, come up. We're going to close in just a moment here. See, the main thing that I want you to take away from today is I want every single one of us to walk out of this building with the understanding that joy is possible no matter what situation I'm in. Amen? We walk out of this building here today with a heart ready to celebrate the life that we've been given. Yes, many of us are getting ready to go and hang out at the water park, and that's silly, and that's fun, and that's great, and God is in that. God is in that. Because He wants us to choose a life in a pattern of joyful celebration over anything else. Amen? You know, there's two people that I quickly think of. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I know I used to show it to the youth when I was the youth pastor many years ago. But there's a young man, he's an Australian man. I don't know if you've seen him. His name is Nick Vujicic. Has anybody ever heard of this young man? He's an amazing guy. He has no arms, no legs. Yet he's one of the most sought-after speakers in the world. And he's one of the most joyful guys you will ever meet. How many of you guys know he had more limitations than you waking up today? Yet, he's making a difference and impacting the entire world. And his joy is infectious. Isn't that awesome? He's been encouraging people. He's an evangelist. He's an author. And he encourages people worldwide. The joy of the Lord is his strength. Let me remind you of Paul, the apostle, who wrote letters of encouragement from some of the worst prisons known to man, who encouraged the church even while he suffered. And he continues to encourage the church to this day. I like what Paul says. He says, I've been snake bitten, I've been beaten, and I've been shipwrecked, and I consider all of this but a light affliction. It's nothing compared to the goodness of God in my life. Listen, let us learn to celebrate before we have a shipwreck. Come on. Let us learn to celebrate and live with joy before we find ourselves in a place of being snake bitten. Amen? And understand that that joy will sustain us even through some of the most difficult times. Psalm 126, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to close. Says this, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. I love that phrase, by the way. We were like men who dreamed. You know who dreams? People with hope. People with hope, a hopeful expectation, dream. We were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Let me ask you today, my final question is this. What is your joy dependent on? Be honest with yourself. Who have you made responsible for the fulfillment of your joy? What have you made responsible for the fulfillment of your joy? And my follow-up to that is, how's that been working for you? How's that worked out? See, the difference with those men that I cited earlier is they found Jesus to be the most dependable source of joy in their life. And even if you're here today and you said, you know what, if I'm being honest, maybe I put my joy in things or a job or a person. I'm here to tell you today, God's not mad at you. But there's a better way. There's a better way. So you don't have to live with disappointment. You can live today knowing that if Jesus is the source of your joy, no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. Come on. In everything that the enemy means to bring destruction into your life, will be turned around on his head. Why? Because we live with a constant abiding hope placed in the constant abiding presence of Jesus himself, who said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you always. Therefore, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close this morning. I want to encourage you today to choose joy.